Well, we've probably all heard the saying, the best laid plans of mice and men often go asunder. That explains this past Advent season. It seems like every plan we made, every thought we had, there was a detour thrown in front of us. But the spirit was still there and we managed to make it through. And then a week ago, I found out that the plans we had for this Sunday, well, they weren't going to happen. And we already had a vacation scheduled, but everybody came together and we managed to pull it off. And so when you hear this, Michael and I will be in Branson, but our hearts will be here. And we want to leave you with these words. It was December 1943. It had been a very long 2 years since the United States entered the war. People were tired. They were worried. They were scared. What they wanted more than anything else was for things to return to normal. They wanted the war to end. They wanted families to be able to be reunited. They wanted to rebuild their lives, their families, the community in general. But with yet another Christmas approaching, it became very obvious that, well, the peace they were longing for was nothing more than a distant dream. As the stress and uncertainty of it all began to really take a blanket over the country, Hollywood stepped in. As strange as it seems, they took on the task of convincing the American people that peace would come. We would survive. In 1942, they made the movie Holiday Inn, and it featured the now classic song, White Christmas. It was a song that captured the longing of the people for home and for tradition. It's said that it became like the national anthem during the war. So it seems only natural that the next year, when people were even feeling more stressed, that, well, the airwaves would once again be filled with a song by the young Bing Crosby. People were longing for home, but they knew that those men in the trenches were longing even more than them. And so he began to sing, I'll be home for Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
I'll be home for Christmas. It still resonates. There's still a longing deep within each and every one of us to find that place where we can really call home, that place where we feel the peace and the contentment, a place where we feel safe and loved. Early this past October, I noticed a very strange thing happening in Ottawa. In the midst of all of the Halloween stuff, Christmas lights were going up. And they were definitely Christmas lights, not Halloween lights. As a matter of fact, a house I pass every morning on my walk, they even had a Christmas tree in the window. Of course, my first thought was, oh, come on. It's October. Aren't they rushing it? Well, a few weeks later, I was in a district meeting. And one of my friends, as we sat there talking, he said, you know, there's something really bothering me, something I don't understand. So being pastoral, we all said, so what is it? And he said, well, it's October. And the other day I saw, and before he could finish his sentence, several of us spoke up and said, Christmas lights? What was it? I mean, as we discussed the situation, it became clear that there were Christmas lights going up all over the state. But why? Why were so many people wanting to rush the season in such a bizarre way? Finally, someone said, you know, it's almost like they're searching for something. And that's when it finally clicked in my mind. And I said, do you remember COVID? People left their Christmas lights up almost till Easter. It was a way to add light into the midst of a very dark situation. And aren't many of us feeling the same way again? It's been a long, hard year. We're wishing that all the anger, the misunderstanding, and the worry would just go away. You know, maybe we really are in need of a little Christmas. It's true that Christmas has been co-opted by Santa Claus, reindeer, and commercialism. But when we stop and really listen to what people are saying, when we look at what they're doing, there is an unmistakable longing for a Christmas that Christians have to offer. There's a longing for peace, for a time when anger and fear will cease, when, as the scriptures say, swords are beaten into plowshares, and God's kingdom comes upon earth. Oh. Not everyone, especially those outside of the church, would exactly word it that way. But the truth is, we are longing for something. We really are longing for home, for the place we belong, the place where we're safe. Now, believe it or not, Mary and Joseph were longing for the same things too. By the time we meet them in today's scripture, it had been more than 2 long years since they said yes to God's holy plan. And during that time, things just kept going from bad to worse. First, there was the rushed marriage and all of the gossip that would have gone with that. And then there was the unexpected trip to Bethlehem that led to the baby being born in the stable. And have you ever wondered why it was that after 2 years they were still living in Bethlehem? Why hadn't they returned to Nazareth? That's where they were living. That was home. That was where their friends and family were. But according to Matthew, the Magi found them in a house in Bethlehem. 2 years later. And it doesn't make sense. And what really doesn't make sense? After everything they had been through, after everything they had already suffered, now they were being told to pick up what few possessions they had and go to Egypt. They had been dreaming of going home. Home to that place where they belonged. Not to a foreign land that was often hostile to them. And why couldn't they just go home? Well, according to an article in Discipleship Resources, unlike the Gospel of Luke, Matthew never uses the words, "there was no room for them." But Matthew doesn't have to. Because it seems as though every word that was written, every verse that was recorded, it says that without saying the words. Quoting the article, "There was no room for them in a world of violence and corruption. There was no room for them in a hometown ruled by a bloodthirsty tyrant. There was no room for them in a land that was a daily reminder of slavery and suffering." To say it was a messy world, it's an enormous understatement. But it also acknowledges that it is a world in need of saving. You know, like Mary and Joseph, we sometimes find ourselves caught in a situation that is not of our, that we did not plan and is not of our making. And in those moments, it feels as though there's no room for us. We find ourselves longing for a place to belong, where we know deep down that everything will turn out okay. Not just for us, but for those we love and those in the entire world. What we want, what we really dream of is finding that place where the light shines in the darkness, a sign that God is still with us, that everything will turn out okay. And that's what this story from Matthew tells us. You see, Mary and Joseph, they found themselves once again in a life and death situation. Herod, the one who had all the power, had decided there wasn't enough room for him and the king of the Jews. It didn't matter to him that this king was a baby. He wanted him gone. Now, not later. And it was up to his parents to keep him safe. They were the ones who had to continue nurturing him, making sure that he could grow into the person he was to be so that he could become the Messiah that we needed. When they fled, they did so holding on to the promise, holding on to the child. They were never alone. God was with them in the presence of that child, the one who would eventually save them. At that moment, however, as they fled once again into Egypt, all they had was a promise and a hope that came from believing. You know, Christians, we're living in a world where there seems to be no room for us. And as a result, we sometimes spend our day-to-day lives feeling like nothing is ever going to be normal again, that nothing is going to be right. We long for the day that the kingdom comes, but where is it and how long do we have to wait? We want the kingdom that is has its foundation based on justice and love and peace. And yes, in the midst of our longing, sometimes we feel threatened. And in those moments, we need to remember that, like Mary and Joseph, we have the promise with us. We carry it with us, not perhaps with the baby, but with the Spirit. Christ is with us. It is up to us to protect and to nurture those things that He wants us to do. We are the ones that have to make certain that there is room for the Spirit to continue growing, flourishing, so the Spirit can continue to reach out into the world. All we have to do is hold on to Him, the one who offers us hope, the one who will give us peace. We may not find our resting place in Bethlehem. It may be in Egypt. But God is still with us. To God be the glory. Amen.